It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Hello! Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here on the RBN Network for three more days. Yep, you got me for today, tomorrow, and then Friday. We'll probably bring in some of the guys, and we'll just, see what's what. Because, you know, we've been through a lot. I mean, you know, those of you that listen to this show, you know over the past, how long has it been? Almost a year. You know that it's always Arizona, isn't it? think about this. How would you have seen the news of what's happening here on all kinds of different issues? Janet Napolitano, where she came from, her history and what she's done. You know, the immigration issue, the actually being on the border, all the writers and guests that we've had, all of the activism that we've done, all of the people that we, you know, presidential candidate for the Republicans, McCain. You know, get a little look in there, a little behind the scenes on Joe Arpaio. A little, you know, it's never really what the lamestream media, the media that sued last century, tells you. Is it? Well, you know, you just stay tuned to Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll get your goodie. You know, plus you have an opportunity to be able to post and report, and a lot of you are starting to do that. You know, I've been promising all kinds of stuff and upgrades on the site. Well, we finally started making some big progress and turning, it's like stuff we got to do. Well, what we've done is now a lot of it was behind the scenes. We were losing ranking because of so many the way the site works and so many tools in there, it was slow to load. I mean, it takes like 2 seconds, but that's, you know what that means? Let me tell you what that means. That means that Freedom's Phoenix was number in 53% in speed of opening. That means 53% of all the other sites on the internet opened faster than ours did. That sucks. But, you know, we wanted to maintain it, so we had to come up with some creative coding back room, make it go word thing. Finally finished that part. I mean, you don't know the difference any other than it's just faster. But, you know, in computer search engine time, you know, that's like, you know, big, giant, enormous, whatever. Well, then as we do that, well, it increases our traffic again. Then we hit limits, and we knew that was going to happen. So we had to do some more backroom efficiency, the way it's processed, kind of do it getting from 1 to 3 servers and split the tasks and so on. And go, we're getting ready for prime time. Well, you know, it's you know, a lot of work. No, we finally had a meeting last night, going into late hours, going over all little bitty. Now we got that done. We need to do a bunch of little stuff that we need to do to keep progressing, because all the archives since 2003, when I first started doing radio, back when only libertarians knew what MP3 was. I mean, back in the day, every word that's came out of my mouth, all the acting and everything, you know, is in various different places on the internet. We're combining it all into one computer with all our video and all that kind of stuff, because the problem has been is that we know as you get more influential, they just turn off your Facebook account. They just shut down your site. They just block whatever. I mean, you know, these are the things that happen. Knowing this from the beginning, we took a hit. You know, we didn't get full advantage of a lot of things, but we're creating our own servers. Oh, I'll tell you why when we come back just a little bit here and Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Stop believing here on Declare Your Independence. From me, Ernest Hancock, I feel better today. That's right. I feel better. I mean, you know, it's always better to feel better. You know what I mean? Because it's just I got some sleep, got some things done, you know, getting kind of fresh perspective on and, you know, stop drinking coffee after noon. You know, lots of hours. You know, today we're going to do 6 hours of radio. We have 2 hours here, and we're going to be on Dave Champion's show this afternoon and then the afternoon show. And I'm, you know, looking forward to spending time with Dave Champion's audience. You know, I give a listen to Dave's show, and, you know, I'm going, yeah, we're on the same wavelength. You know, that's you know, I can see why how we could compliment each other and do it, you know, share some love. So we're gonna have some fun today. And I'm going to go for the world record, 6 hours radio. Yay! Can you talk for 6 hours a day? You know, I can do it. I was talking to Jordan Page this morning. He's a musician, and he was asking, you know, what my availability was for some stuff we're doing. And I go, hey, I got to do 6 hours a day. And he goes, just talking? He goes, well, maybe I could do a six-hour concert, you know, but, you know, I get to go to the bathroom. And that's one thing here. You know, where our restroom is like, I guess it's probably like 50 yards away. So it's like, you know, I come back sometimes. And we're back, you know. Well, it's been great spending time with this audience. And I know certainly when we started off, it was the first day. I got to tell you, we'll probably talk about this, you know, Friday, but I remember the first day, you know, and John Stattmiller and I had seen each other, known each other for, I don't know, at least a year or more, you know, going around the country and so on before we decided to do this. And it was, I'll tell you what was happening. We had Freedom's Phoenix workshop here. And when we first got, it was just an open warehouse. I think it's like 12-foot ceilings, 10-foot ceilings, or whatever. And it's just a warehouse area that was the back of a furniture store in a strip center, you know, on the corner in downtown Phoenix. And it was exactly what we wanted. And I knew the landlord. We had had our previous, you know, Ron Paul Revolution headquarters, you know, we had done. And before that, you know, 15 years ago, from the same building landlord, we had our Libertarian Party headquarters for the county when I was county chair. So I've been dealing with the same people for a long time because, you know, they buy old strip malls and business centers and kind of refurb them and start filling them up. And that's, you know, their development, their investment. So they'll find, you know, something distressed and they'll do whatever. Well, you can always, when they, you know, they just got open space. Hey, man, I give you $500 a month, you know, and people won't steal the copper. You know, and we'll like, you know, and every time that we've done this, it's just provides more stable occupancy and other people come in and they benefit. And it always has worked out that way because we're good tenants. We don't bother anybody. And you got, you know, cars in the parking lot and it just makes it more attractive, I guess. So this one place here, it has a, you go to the back of any grocery store or Walmart or any strip center, you go in the back and there'll be an alley back there and you just have the, you know, the trash bins and that kind of stuff back there. Well, here they had, it's still kind of, you can see it's on next to the road, but it's in the back and you have parking spaces. It was a nice parking area. We could do it to do a lot of painting and so on. We need to be outside so we don't smell the fumes. And then we had a large open area that we got, I don't know, 4,000 square feet or something. And then having another like 10,000 next to us that we just kind of squat because, you know, nobody's using it. And then they have up front, they have, you know, the retail outlets and shops and so on up there. So we're in the back. Nobody knows we're here. No signs, no nothing. All you see is just a bunch of cars by this, you know, double steel back door thing. You know, what the heck are those guys doing? They're there at night. They're on the weekends. You know, the neighbors going by. There's a neighborhood behind us here that, you know, the street goes right by us. And they're, you know, what the heck's going on? We had, when we first came here, the Homeowner Association. We're doing a story, and we want to know everything about you. So how do you describe that? Well, I'm more than happy to, you know, you want to write an article, you want to do something, you know, fine. Well, they were asking all these questions about, you know, I don't know, stuff they had nothing to do with, whatever. They just wanted to know, you know, I don't know what. They wanted to know what kind of business we were. What did you do? And we tried to tell them. Well, if you're not going to tell it, what? You know, we're an activist workshop for freedom. You know, we and you go, well, what does that mean? You know, of course, I come to find out later, she worked for the city or something. She was a Democrat that kind of, you know, they wanted, once they found out that we were the Ron Paul revolutionary kind of guys, well, exactly what is it that you're doing? Well, come on, I will show you. This what, and they just couldn't grasp it. They couldn't understand that somebody's, you know, effort was not to get inside the government to benefit from some contract or something, that you were truly advocating for individual rights, you know, just to be left alone. They, yeah, but what's your angle? You know, where's your profit? You know, what's your product? And they couldn't get it. I mean, seriously. You know, if you're not going to tell us, what's to tell? We provide a facility for people to do what they want. Well, how does that profit? You know, and these are socialists. they always got their own agenda. So an agenda of just being left alone is very rare. They don't comprehend it. They don't get it. You know, I'll give you an example. this last weekend, I was in Pennsylvania at Valley Forge up there, north of Philadelphia. And we were having a good time. And there was a Tom DeWeese had a Liberty conference thing going on there, and it went on for, I don't know, at least 3 or 4 days, and I was, you know, covering it and interviewing and all that kind of stuff for the afternoon show. And the one thing that I got from that is, you know, the Patriot movement is still a lot of times it's the same people. I mean, people I've known for 20 years, same thing, same, you know, going into the, we're going to fix it this time. You know, we're going to do, you know, go to our legislator and we're going to really make them and, you know, carry the right signs in the right places and, you know, whatever. So peace be upon thee. Well, one of the things that kind of makes example, a good friend of mine, Gary Franchi, and he is an activist that kind of came out of the Restore the Republic from Aaron Russo's movie, America, Freedom to Fascism. And they had an enormous database in that. And they probably had, I don't know, it was 50, 70,000 people that gave their emails to get information to kind of come together and, you know, we want to do something. Well, my perspective is, you know, 50, 60,000 emails, you know, coming in to Freedom's Phoenix. I go, I don't know, do whatever you want. Heck, you can even communicate on the site and say, hey, I'm going to go do this. And they go, yeah, peace. You know, I'm with you, man. You know, let's go do that. And then they go do whatever. No direction for me. I don't care. It's just an infrastructure there for them to all of us just kind of be informed. Big, wide radar screen. It's just a libertarian type of, you know, thing. It's this spontaneous order. And a lot of people don't know it. And it was in the movie Ron Paul, the documentary, you know, For Liberty, the Ron Paul Revolution. And someone said in there, later ran for Congress, he goes, you know, being in computers, I've heard of spontaneous order, but I've never actually witnessed it. I never understood what it meant. Well, heck, my entire life is that. It's an attitude. You just let it go. You just provide certain structure. You take care of you. You know, you just be available. You have some valences in your life, some openings. You know, it's like so you can have some bonding. It's like, a carbon atom has, you know, 4 valences. So all of a sudden you get, you know, 1 valence for a hydrogen atom. So all of a sudden you got 4 hydrogen atoms around your carbon atom. Makes a very inert molecule. Just boom, there, you got a stable something. Well, if you always leave a valence open, you always leave space for a project. Temporary voluntary alliances. Temporary and voluntary until you complete whatever short-term project there is. Then you move on. You're a moving target. This is the one thing that the activists or the patriot groups or these organizations, they're so concerned about creating a new website, a new organization, a new, you know, I have probably 2 dozen websites. And some of them I'll resurrect. They go in, they go out, they wane, they wax. Because you got to be floating like a butterfly, sting. like a bee, like Ali. So that's what we do. Well, the thing is by opening yourself up always, okay, I'm finished that project, I got my more time. Just as of this last week, I mean, just as of last night, I've had probably, let's say I got like, you know, 10 things, double digits. I can keep my poker in the fire. I can keep my branding iron in the fire, you know, things that I can do. All of a sudden, you know, as of last night, I opened up 2-3 more spaces for projects. I got more projects. Oh, let me tell you about some of the projects when we come back. Oh, I got more time. Oh, we're going to be whipping it up here in Arizona. Hey, you guys want to pay attention, too. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You know, that's one thing I first started doing radio. It was, Declare Your Independence. And it was probably about, it wasn't very long. It was within the first 3 months. Somebody goes, well, if I'm going to declare my independence, why do I got to do it with you? Good point. You don't need me. You don't need anybody. You don't even need a government form. So this is, you just declare your independence. Well, that's one thing that we're hopeful that we've been able to, you know, inspire and share with the audience is that I tell you the one thing that as I was growing up, in the movement, I'm in my 20s and you become your 30s and you're raising kids and they start moving out and they start having my first grandkid and so on. I mean, you know, my entire family, this is all we know. You know, my kids, they knew it was election cycle. It was envelope stuff and time, you know. And but when they started hitting, because I knew better, when they started hitting junior high school, I really pulled back and more focused on them working in the restaurant. You know, I was like, oh, you know, you're getting a good work ethic. Now this, you know, staying home at, you know, with mom thing, you know, after school. I go, seriously, we have four kids. Well, I got so much laundry to do and the dishes and cleaning. Now I go, are you freaking serious? You got four kids. I don't know why you're not, you know, just laying on the couch and pointing fingers. And she used to get mad at me. She goes, well, I'm going to go this week, my friend. You know, would you please clean up the house? Not a problem. She goes, I know you're just going to get the kids to do it. You dang skippy I am. They will get them lawn mowed, too. You know, I'm going to be one person doing it. I got eight hands working. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So when we started the restaurant, I was like, you know, let me show you how, you know, So it was. They got a work ethic. You want to get some good. You know. In fact, we used to put that on the resumes when they'd first start. You know, I'd send them a letter recommendation. You know, on letterhead from the restaurant, and I go, these are my kids. They worked from this age to this. Hard working, time to lean, time to clean. Best employee you'll ever have. Good rock and roll. You may benefit from. Send me a check later. You know, they get the job, and they kick butt. And they started to realize that they, in the free market of labor, that their competition was dang. I mean, really? This is all I got to deal with? So now I go, let me tell you, when you guys get, you know, into the job market and done with school and all this other stuff, I go, you know what they're going to do? They're going to come to you and say, well, 40-hour work week is passe. We're going to put you on salary. It's going to be cheaper than paying you hourly. It's going to be, we're going to need, you know, 45, 50 hours out of you a week. You got to work two Saturdays a month and you don't get any benefits. And they're going, only 50 hours a week? Only one, two Saturdays a month? And you're paying me? Woohoo! Vacation! You know, they just have a different standard. You know, they're just, wow, that's it? That's all I get time off? I get paid? I feel guilty. I got to clean my house more. I'm sitting around doing nothing. You know, it was ingrained in them. So they're just so much more productive. And one of my friends, he goes like this. He goes, you want to tell a lesson? Because he had kids that were a couple years older than mine. And he goes, let me show you what you do. Now, they're about the same age. I guess he got them this idea first. So the last two of my kids I did it with. And he goes, you know, you take them to the DMV when they go to get their driver's license and so on, because everybody's got to go to the DMV sooner or later. So when you go to the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, you get your driver's license and so on, that crowd, that's your competition. This is everybody. You know, this is the cross section. You go in, you say, see the people behind the counter, see all these people. This is your competition. This is it. This is what you got. You're averaging out from here. This is it. And then they started to understand the benefits of getting a good education, the benefits of having, you know, a principled, Christian, ethical, right and wrong boundaries family. They started to understand the benefits. Now, of course, they had a lot of, you know, because we went to private school, we were the poor kids, but, you know, we got along fine. Everybody treated us very well. We were, you know, they knew we were busy. And so we had a lot of their friends and so on would have, you know, their parents got the big boats and, you know, they go on cruise vacations and take them. And they go, for our 20th anniversary, some of the guys, they took us on a Holland, Alaska cruise, doing the helicopter on the glacier thing, you know, because they're friends and they had the ability and they just wanted to spend time with us and some others. And it's just, and some other friends they went with us, their 25th anniversary. So we've got to do a lot of things just simply because we've been productive, we're busy. And even when they disagree with us, because they know that we're moral, decent people that want to do the right thing, our children have benefited from it. I wanted to share our life with you, and certainly here on RBN, over the year, we've been able to kind of give you an inside look, you know, at the Hancock family and our friends here. You've heard me talk about my children, my grandchild, my next grandchild that's coming here later this month or early September. You have, you know, their marriages and how they progressed and them looking for houses and jobs and all that. You've got to go inside. This is it. You know, we're really open. This is what we do. And we've tried to inspire you, even at a later stage in your life and so on, just to survive this thing, because after it, we raise the next generation to make sure they'll leave you alone.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube, what do I see? A whole lot of people crying, don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves.
Get over what? You know, you're whining. You know, this is one thing that I've been very adamant about. A lot of people, you can imagine, I know you know the people just like this, or you may be one of the people like this. Whine, whine, whine. What? And then it's always followed by this. You know what you or someone else should do? And this is how it goes. You know what you should do is, you know, I got a big giant stack of you shoulds. I got enough you shoulds to last me. I'm good. You know, I got plenty of projects. Every waking moment of my life is directed at communicating the advantages of just leaving people alone. Even in my social situation, you know, it's you know, all my little bumper sticker sayings, you know, my friends, you know, they share. You know, yesterday in the afternoon show, we had Jordan Page. He wrote a song, my phrase, I go, freedom's the answer, what's the question? You know, so he kind of, you know, used that a little bit different. He goes, freedom's the answer, so what is the question? So he says it a little bit differently than I do, but he was inspired by that to do a song. And it was a letter in a song to his two young boys that are now like, you know, 1 and 2 years old. And he's cute little kids, and his beautiful wife and he, they just really, you know, have a good little family unit there that they are growing in the movement as being the voice in song. And he has a new album coming out. It has 16 new songs on it. So he's going to be traveling and doing the gig around all the college campuses and so on, doing that. And he's getting it recorded. He says he's near being finished in studio with them. And he just recorded that one song, and he wanted me to hear it. And it's a very nice, you know, one of those tearjerkers, you know, song to your sons. Hey, man, you know, I'm not going to get it all fixed for you, but I'm doing my part. I'm busy. You know, I'm working on it. So all of my social interactions, all my closest friends, they've known me for a long time. And a lot of times they count on me to keep doing what they wish they could do, and they help. You know, I remember one of my closest friends, he won a Montero two-door kind of Jeep thing. You know, it was an 87, 88, and he won it. He went to a car dealership and just filled out, you know, all of a sudden he gets a thing in the mail. You won! And it had, you know, the stripped-down package. And he goes, hey, man, this is Phoenix, Arizona. At least put air conditioning in it. I mean, come on, you know? So they gave him the Uber package. So, and it was a really nice vehicle. Yeah, it was cool. And then he got a new company car a couple of years later and so on, and he just gave it to us. He knew that we needed a reliable car, and so all the stuff that we were doing, we were always having car problems, so he just gave the car to us. So later when I bought his company car, I probably gave him top blue book for it, but it's all good, you know, gave us car. That changed our entire life. And we've had so many instances like that to where good friends, because they are limited in the amount of time that they can devote to this freedom thing. In support of it, you know, one of the deals in the mid-90s is I made it very clear that my children were no longer going to go to public school. And whatever sacrifice we had, how many jobs I had to take, whatever, because I knew I was investing in the future. I was always, my wife and I, before we got married, we wanted two boys, two girls. We were very happy it worked out that way. Two boys, two girls, as close together. Four under four was our goal. Four under four. Well, our fourth child, we had a miscarriage, you know, and it was early on, so on. So, you know, but it's still very traumatic for, you know, Donna. I never bring it up. I just, you know, hey, man, you know, it's whatever needed to be. But she always considers that we've had five children. And so but then we wouldn't have got Sierra, you know, which is the, you know, the light of my life and, you know, saves my butt. She's very effective. You know, and we've talked about that, too. Her whole sixth grade year, she homeschooled in the restaurant. I'm going to teach you how to run a business, you know, because the other kids all went to the private school starting seventh grade. And I didn't want her at the, you know, they had a charter school by herself because I knew it was going to happen. Nothing. I said, you know what, this year, at the end of this, I guarantee you're going to have learned something. So what happened is we decided that we were going to have four children, two boys, two girls if possible, and get them close together so it just, you know, ease in and out of high school and college and out of the house and, you know, woohoo, bring on the grandkids. That was the plan. And it's pretty much worked out that way. Well, we've enjoyed each other's company a lot. Our family is very, now that they've all moved out, I see them more now than I ever did when they lived at home. They're always trying to, you know, like be away. Now I can't keep them away, you know, they're always coming over and so on, which they're, and I do my best to make sure they feel welcome. Hey, it's all, everybody gets a hug, you know, and all their friends and spouses and everybody, it's all family. Everybody's welcome. The thing that a lot of people outside our family feel like family too, because we never really, you know, got into this concept of permanence. When you know what's coming, you can't really get super attached to stuff. I mean, you know, I mean, the most I'm attached to is my backup hard drive. I mean, because it's got pictures on it or so, and my other backup of backups. I'm big in the backups now. But the thing is, we never really get, you know, attached to the house, the ground, the where I live. I remember that question. It really hit at home one time. I was running for office, and they had this questionnaire from the newspaper, and they said, "Where do you consider home?" And the reason I know why they were asking is because all these people were moving from out of state to run for office and all that kind of stuff here because they had opening congressional seats and such. And I'm just like, you know, it's a good question. You know, where's my family? There's home. And it didn't even – it didn't bother me one bit. It never occurred to me that home would be some geographical or flag-waving patriot club country government thing. You know, it never occurred to me. But that's the first thing that most people think of. You know, my home is my football team. You know, it's my America. You know, I'm going, wow, that's home? You know, home is home. It's where you feel at home. Where do you feel at home? You know, my kids say, you know, where's your home? Yeah, you know, well, I don't know, where's my family? You know, I hope that's what we instilled in them. Instead of this geography thing, it's something on a map they're trying to beat into you in the public school system, the government school system. So we've tried to share with you the manifestations of this kind of attitude, because what happens is there's going to come a time where the big bad guys are going to see something. They're going to take this. They're getting, people will spend their entire lives trying to get that one thing back, or to maintain, you know, this collection of stuff, or this house, or this place. If you've wrapped up your life into this inanimate thing, you're kind of missing the point. There is so much to be, you know, home is in your heart. It's in your attitude. It's in your relationships. It's in, you know, who you get to associate with, you know, and hopefully you're able to do that in semi-comfort, you know. But if you're out in the lone prairie in a tent, I mean, it's, you know, nomadic tribes, you know, feel pretty damn good about, you know, their life. So it's a perspective. I wanted to share, you know, our life with you and how we're able to, in the face of adversity. I mean, we've had, you know, we come to the attention of important people. And do I worry? Not really. You know, a lot of people wonder how it is that we kind of survive not getting, you know, doors knocked on as much as we do, which we have. You know, there's, you know, the officers show up at the front door kind of stuff before. And it's as long as you're not, you know, just doink them in the face and so on. A lot of people like want to cause a problem. They just want to keep their job and keep on keeping on, just not be bothered. And as soon as they come across, they know who and what you're about. They're kind of looking for an exit strategy anyway, if you'll allow it for them, and it's all good. So I have tried to advocate that no sitting on your butt. You know, be proactive in taking care of, yourself. Quit worrying about everybody else. You know, I like this saying, they go, yeah, the world would be a clean place. Everybody swept off their own porch, you know, or heck, go help your neighbor sweep off the porch. If your first inclination is called neighborhood zoning enforcement because somebody's lawn's too high, if you're willing to do that before you're willing to go over and make sure they're okay and ask if you can help mow their lawn, you know, then you got issues. And I tell you, you know, it's been 10 years, my next door neighbor. Oh, man, he puts the pressure on, man. You know, I mean, it's, nobody can park in front of his house, even though it's, you know, public road or something, whatever, because he doesn't have a driveway. And so I'm like, yeah, cool. You know, we can do that. So I got to, you know, we have a bunch of people come over. Nobody parks in front of Steve's. And it is, as time has gone on and his small girl has grown up and yeah, he's learned to tolerate us. You know, we're trading. We give him some chicken eggs. I mean, you know, it's you know, we go to pick the peaches, man. He gets a basket. You know, and it's just, you kill him with kindness because he's your next door neighbor. No matter how, and he's a big, you know, his NFL football player and kind of intimidating guy. And, you know, there's times he comes up and I go, what are you going to do, Steve? Hit me? I mean, come on, man. Chill. So it's just, but I deal with the government and everybody the same way because they're all my neighbors. They're always, everybody wants a conflict. I give you an example. Taxes. You pay your taxes? Absolutely. Every bit I owe. You know, that's kind of my personal thing. And, you know, and I fill out the forms? Absolutely. For many years, I filled out their damn forms. We were so poor, we got money back, more money back in income tax credits than we paid in. Heck, I got, it was an average of $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 a year. I was like, woohoo, I go buy me a used Cadillac Seville. Thank you, government man. Or it was all you that did it. Hey, that's my charge for filling out your forms, okay? That's how poor I am. Well, the thing is that now, you know, as I got paid in, which really tweaks my hide, and my wife, and, whoa, man, that makes her libertarian, having to, all this personal kind of data, man, it just really bugs the crap out of her. So I make sure she does it so she stays on edge. But what happens is now we have a situation to where do you want to challenge every single thing? I have friends of mine that are wealthy, that, you know, various different levels of wealthy, but, I mean, they got more money than me, okay? They live in Fountain Hills. They got a nice big home, and they're talking about tax thing in the 90s, and I remember they go, oh, no, we pay extra. I go, what? Oh, absolutely. Man, as far as anybody knows, extra. They pay maximum amount of taxes and a little extra. You know, because I just, man, I don't want to deal with it. And they're very public about it. And the reason was is because, you know, they understand what they are. They're a gang with a gun. And they want, you know, we are not advocating paying less taxes. Because they know that's what puts you on a radar screen. And what do they do with what money they are allowed to keep? A little freedom fighting. Always going to our freedom summits. They always can be counted on for $500,000 to change the planet, because there's been so many times throughout my activism as a young man, 20, 30 years old, with some great whatever, and I could easily convince people because of my past record. I go, you know, I can change the freaking planet with $2,000 right now to do this. We'll have this impact. And they go, all right, I'm in for $500. So I go to, you know, a group, small group of maybe less than a dozen people, and I just let them know. I go, okay, this is what's happened. We can take advantage of this, do this, make this impact for a couple of $1,000s. We can thwart millions of dollars being spent on propaganda and stuff that they've been working on for a year, 2 years, to bring about the perfect storm in the media to be able to, and boom, a little bit of activism, a couple $1,000s and signs at the right time, and boom, in your face, boom. And they're going, yeah, that's good. Go do that. And we do, time after time after time. Now with the workshop, that $2,000 or its equivalent, probably $3,000-$4,000 now, and that $2,000 can now be done in 3 hours and $200. Because we've created the facility, we could do a lot of the stuff ourselves. Like doing our T-shirts. We could have them mass-produced by Art Craft, you know, guys that we work with and so on, and get them done probably, you know, cheaper, the cost, and us even do get it set up and do everything, get the screen done. It's just a pain in the butt. And, you know, we can get it done cheaper then, but it would take 3, 4, 5 days. And I, especially when you only need, you know, 20 shirts or something for some specific little thing to happen in the news that day locally. No, that's not why we do it. We do it because, boom, I got 20 people out in shirts that say whatever was in the news that morning at a location with all the TV cameras. No, by the way, Freedom's Phoenix was here. Hello. You know, it's speed. You know, a good idea today is about 5 gazillion trillion times better than a perfect idea tomorrow. Everybody's later. You know, that's one thing that a little pet peeve of me and my wife, Donna. You know, she's great. I mean, she gets stuff done. She is way more, you know, effective activist than probably anybody else I know. But, you know, on a personal life, she goes, I'll get that later, which means never. Or after I remind you 3 times, or I start getting, hey, there is no later, you know. So that's it. She's not near, doesn't have that problem anymore after 20-something years of marriage. But her 26-year wedding anniversary, August 11th, 26 years. And if you spent any time with me, you'd have to wonder why. and it's because I love her so much. You know, we balance each other out, you know, in a lot of ways. She keeps me on the straight and narrow. But I'll tell you this. Our relationship has been centered around action. It's right now. In our relationship, we have problems. We deal with it right now. You know, we don't put stuff off till later. We get issues taken care of now. Activism, now. Raising kids, now. Discipline, now. Everything is right now. When we come back, I'm going to tell you, there's some now coming on. It's coming. And you'll be able to keep up with it on freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, come on.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Sure thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to.
Yeah, but you can't tell me neither. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here on RBN Network. Last few days, we're sharing together. You know, it's y'all thing. You know, do what you want to do. And what we're going to do is keep doing what we're doing. And the main thing is that it's to my personal advantage. Don't ever think a libertarian's not doing something in his own self-interest. Let me tell you what my self-interest is. I want freedom for me and my family. And I only know one way to attain that is to advocate it for everyone. Pure, unadulterated, no compromised freedom. That's uncomfortable for a lot of people. They're going, yeah, well, I want my freedom, but I, you know, this guy over there should be controlled in this particular way. I don't know how that works. I mean, seriously, I don't know how you make that work, because it always goes into, you know, something else. So I know better than to start the seed of what devours us. I remember the first day when I started doing RBN, very first day. Now, John Stattmiller had known this. We had this conversation before, and I don't think he anticipated I'd do it right off the bat. And so he goes, Ernie, you got to come on my afternoon show and explain yourself, man. And it was, I go, Constitution's Monstitution. Might as well be called the Communist Manifesto. Oh, you know people didn't like that none too much. You know, they're like, all right, what the heck is this? Well, you know, the rationalization that I give for that is that you had the Declaration of Independence. You know, it said, didn't say what kind of government, just said how you know when it's bad. It's not defending individual rights. They had Articles of Confederation, which we're getting a lot of press on lately. Matter of fact, later today, staff is putting up an article from LouRockwell.com on Articles of Confederation. One of our speakers is the Freedom Summit's expert on the Articles of Confederation. We've had debates on there in Articles of Confederation. I mean, it was the revolution was counter-revolutioned with the Constitution. We got conned, man. They put us all on a plantation, was able at a federal central plan level to tax you, and all of a sudden all the property of everybody that, you know, we just got freed, you know, from the serfdom crap of the king, and in the document it says eminent domain. Yep, all of the land in the states, you know, you go in this central plan, this constitution thing, it's ultimately ours. You know, it's the king's land. And if we take, but then they had the Bill of Rights, and what did that say? Well, okay, if you're going to take it, you got to give just compensation. Well, then what does the government do? They always condemn the property so it lowers in value anyway. You know, so this is, in the power to tax everybody, the power of eminent domain, the power to control your commerce. And if you're a tyrant, king, Obama, Bush, whatever, what the hell else would you need? So you make that point, you know, and it's people like, well, okay, maybe, but I don't like it anyway. So we've expanded your thought process. Get you start thinking different, that this is all a plan. It always was. You know, there's always the secret handshake people you think just go back a generation. Heck, it goes back to, I don't know, before pyramid building. You know, when they started to be able to feed people with crops. You started to farm. It's just all these different governmental entities are just, you know, livestock management tools. You know, so as Stefan Molyneux puts it, you know, that's good. I like that. You know, but then you get different kinds of government, maybe, you know, a little free range chicken thing, you know. But I go, you know, the end of free range is not freedom. It's the chicken McNugget box. You're always going to get cheered, you know, but you get to vote for it. Yay! You know, hopefully what we've been able to do is not only express a philosophy, but express how much of a weapon it is against the bad guys. How much I'll go toe-to-toe national. Russell Pierce, Espiritan, immigration, I'll take the other side. Come on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. And know exactly what this bill really does, exactly how it's going to be used, exactly what the real arguments are.